time to get underway with Radio Friendships. Stay tuned as your hosts, Don and Sandra Tipton, share exciting news about what God is doing throughout the world in this missions-minded radio broadcast.
Welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed standing in for Don and Sandra Tipton from Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and we'd like to welcome you all to the program today. Today we're going to be discussing a short film called Oversold, and I think this really goes along with our theme for this week. It has been put out by Suma Jack Productions and the Elevation Church in Phoenix, Arizona. Now keep in mind, we'll be giving away 5 copies of this to 5 callers that want this movie, but you know what, before we get started, let's go ahead and listen to a clip of this movie.
The desert. It's a beautiful place. Rugged and barren, the desert can also be a dangerous place. For me, a place like this reminds me of another kind of barrenness. It isn't a barrenness that's easily seen. In fact, it can easily be missed in people's lives. What I'm describing is a barrenness of the heart that can only come from sin. Sin. Now there's an unpopular word. Just saying the word ushers in all kinds of emotions for many of us. But the truth is, sin is real, and sin destroys. It can take a beautiful place full of life and hope and turn it into a beautiful disaster. But thankfully, there's a whole nother spiritual truth in the world that is equally real, and her name is Grace. She takes something that is ugly and makes it beautiful. She takes debts that are not hers and pays for them. And when I think about stories of grace out of the Bible, there's one that really stands out to me. And it's a story where God tells his prophet Hosea to go and marry a prostitute. And what makes the story even stranger is that, truthfully, it's a love story between the most unlikely of couples. And it makes me wonder, you know, what would happen if this were to happen in a modern context?
What a great way to set this up. We're going to be talking today about the short film called Oversold. And as you heard in that clip, it's the story of Hosea put into a modern day setting. Now, that voice you heard right there was Pastor David Cohen of the Elevation Church in Phoenix, Arizona, and he is on the phone with us today. Welcome to Radio Friendships, Pastor David.
Hey, thank you for having me.
You know what? Before we go any farther, there was an interesting term in there that I'd like to ask you about. You said a beautiful disaster. What did you mean by that?
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, I think that's kind of a term that kind of describes a lot of people, frankly. You know, the Bible says we're all made in the image of God. That's what sets us apart from the rest of creation. We have a clear mark that God created us for something. He created us to be his people. Yet we've kind of allowed sin in our lives, and we've allowed things to absolutely destroy that which God has made. And really made it be beautiful. That's what happened in the garden. Sin came in, and we continue to kind of live that legacy of sin and destruction and things like that. And I really felt that description fit really well with our main character, which in our story we call Sophie rather than Gomer. But, you know, truthfully, our character Sophie is a beautiful disaster, though, you know, beautiful physically, beautiful outside. Her life had become a disaster. And that really kind of was a great metaphor for just all of us.
Absolutely. Frankly. Now, let's just, for some people that may not be familiar with the story of Hosea, why don't we briefly tell that story?
Well, you know, it's a fascinating story because here you've got a prophet of God who's told to find a woman of unfaithfulness. What God was saying was, go find a prostitute, find someone who was adulterous, find someone who had illicit sexual affairs, and, you know, somebody that just, faithfulness was not a word you would describe them as, and take them and marry them, because what God was trying to do was use that love relationship Hosea would have for Gomer. And use it as an illustration for God's love for his people, because he loves his people. He loves Israel like a husband loves a wife, but the Israelites were basically worshiping every god other than God himself and were engaged in all kinds of things that were contrary to the law and that which God had laid down for them to live. And they were basically an adulterous people. And so he used Hosea's life as a living sermon, if you will, to the people about faithfulness, God's faithfulness versus humanity's unfaithfulness.
Yeah.
And we find out in time that he does that. He marries her, and they even have children. But it's pretty clear from the text that these are most likely not his own children. And eventually she goes into prostitution so much so that chapter 3, God tells Hosea to go and buy her back. And so there's a real beautiful picture of redemption there, and God's love is faithful love. And, you know, it's a powerful story. We really wanted to bring that powerful story into a context kind of a bit more modern so people could kind of embrace that and see that, you know, this kind of redemption, this kind of redemptive love is still present. It's still available.
Amen.
It's real, you know?
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. By putting it into a modern story, it helps us to relate to it. And I'll tell you another thing that it brought out to me personally and several people that have seen it. Is it made us realize that when reading the story of Hosea, I think we often thought of just people going wayward like the prodigal son. But in a sense, these were Jewish people that were very religious.
Yes.
And so what that brought out to us was, hey, these weren't just crazy, sinful people full of debauchery. These were religious people serving false gods. And it's so easy to point fingers and say, oh, those silly Jewish people, without looking at our own hearts. And that was a beautiful part of this picture.
Yeah, I described it this way. The prophet Jeremiah talked about how the words that God had given him were so strong that if he were to try to contain them, he couldn't do it. It was like a burning must-speak. Like, it was like if, unless he spoke it, he was going to catch on fire kind of thing. And I really felt that way with Hosea, with this story, doing it in a modern context. There was a deep passion that this story needed to be told. But first, I thought that that message was really only that for the lost, those that were caught in bondage and really needed to be free and understand that grace was available. But the more we did this project, I got to tell you, it became very clear that there was really a second message that was to the church, to people that really feel like they have it all together. And the more we went into this project, I've got to tell you, I was so blown away by the lack of understanding of what grace is. Mm. It became very clear that God has another message, and that's directly to the church at large, to this film.
Amen. So, again, it's a short film. You can find it online. It's called Oversold. And you know what? One of the easiest ways I found it was just to go on Google and put in Oversold. And I think it was the second listing on there. It's Oversold the movie. Also, there's a MySpace page for it as well. You can go there and see trailers. Any other ways that people can get an idea of what this is about?
Yeah, all you have to do is type in oversoldthemovie.com. And if you go there, you can watch the trailer in a very high resolution. And you can also download the movie if you don't want to wait. Somebody could actually download it in two forms. One that could fit like on a video iPod, like an iPhone. And then another version, which is a little bit better resolution, like almost HD. And then if someone didn't have interest in any of that, you could order a DVD through that site too. That's all through oversoldthemovie.com. But yeah, there is a MySpace page. It would be myspace.com/oversoldthemovie. There's also lots of folks that have been writing about it and various blog articles and things like that,
okay,
too.
So, from what I could see, it was very, very reasonable. You're not getting rich doing this film.
No, not at all, actually. In fact, what we found is that there's been a lot of folks that have been illegally downloading it where, you know, we haven't been recouped of any cost. So I think it's probably the folks that recognize Christy, who is our main star, who once was a very famous porn star and left all of that to follow Christ.
Amen.
You know, people are probably downloading her that way to see this film. And I rejoice at that because that means that they're getting the gospel. Whether they pay for it or not, I'm just thankful that they're getting the message.
Amen. Well, let's talk a little bit about the cast. You said Sophia was Christy Moran. We also had as Joshua Stephen Zimple, who did an excellent job, by the way, and Grant Henderson, who was Ethan.
Yes.
Now, what kind of process goes through selecting a cast like this?
Well, you know, this is my first film to be a part of. I wrote the script for it. It kind of came up with the original idea, but a lot of that process kind of falls to my best friend, Paul Morrell. Same with Jack. He directed this piece, but he set it up for us where we had opportunities for people to send in, you know, an example of their acting skills. And I've got to tell you that was a pretty surreal experience for me as a pastor, seeing various actors try out for the part of, say, like Joshua, the pastor in our story, and seeing people retell the script that I wrote. That was pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
But in time, we really felt like Stephen Zimple really embodied a gentle yet strong character that we really wanted to see come from this pastor. And so that was good. We thought Granted, did a great job portraying an evil guy.
Yeah.
So he pulls that off well, and I thought Chrissy did a great job.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute, because there was a few scenes in there that it didn't seem at all like Chrissy was acting. I mean, like, this was very, very real to her.
Yeah, yeah. That was part of why there was a real draw there. You know, when I initially came up with this idea, I told Paul, like, you know, I'd really like to do a video sermon, if you will, but I'd like it to use live-action actors, so it's not just me talking the whole time. But for me to kind of come in and do some narration and things. And when I told him the initial idea, he started researching, you know, are there people, are there real life examples of this? He stumbled upon a website called IamATreasure.com, which
yes.
is Harmony Dust website.
Yeah.
And Harmony once was a stripper and ended up taking like a dance class somewhere and became friends with a girl in that dance class. That girl was a believer, ended up leading Harmony to Christ. So eventually Harmony got out of the sex industry, but really felt the call to go back and work with the young ladies that are stuck in it. And that's what IamATreasure.com is. That's kind of her website for her ministry. Well, listed on that site is several women and their testimony of how they were once in the industry and God delivered them. One of them was Chrissy Moran. And Paul happened to catch this and read her powerful testimony of leaving pornography in October of 06. And very boldly saying, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus. And that really gripped us. We're like, you know, we need to contact Chrissy somehow, tell her about what we're doing, and see if God were to connect the dots, because we just felt like she was supposed to be a part of this process. And to make a very long story short, we ended up becoming very good friends, and she believed in the project, wanted to be a part, but so that she agreed to play the leading role. And there's a lot in that story that is very similar to her life experiences, and I tell you, it was a joy and an honor to work with her.
Yeah, man. Well, we appreciate you guys really putting your hands to the plow on this, so to speak, because we have to realize that not just you, but the whole cast had to be under some criticism for doing this.
That's kind of putting it mildly. You know, there's definitely a reason that the church kind of avoids certain hot topics.
Yeah.
Because we typically just, well, we'd rather just kind of put it under the rug and not deal with it. And I tell you, I can see why, because it really was a difficult process to go through. I mean, I got to say, you know, seminary didn't prepare me for the day when I had to give final approval for the lingerie that a former porn star was going to be wearing in a stripper scene. They don't prepare you for things
no.
like that. And I've got to say, though, you know, I was really praying incessantly just throughout this whole process that we would maintain integrity,
yeah.
that we would tell the story without compromising our integrity in any way. And of course, you know, there is absolutely no nudity. There's no cursing.
Right.
There's nothing like that at all. In fact, the biggest complaint that we got from people, religious people, is how the church kind of looked bad through this piece. It had nothing to do with Chrissy or anything like that. It had more or less to do with how the church was perceived. But, you know, there was a reason for that, and that does go back to Chrissy. There's a lot of scenes in this film where we should have had a lot of extras. In fact, one of the complaints from some of the folks that did the kind of watched it before we released it, they were like, you know, there's not many extras. Well, the reason for that is that we actually had several cases where we had lots of people lined up, but once they found out who Chrissy was and what she used to do, they refused to be a part of the project. And I'll tell you what, it's mind-blowing because, like, for instance, one time, the dinner scene, we were supposed to have a restaurant full of people, and there were a lot of people lined up to be there. And Paul got a phone call, and it's like, hey, Paul, I guess you figured out by now we're not going to be a part. Once we found out who Chrissy was and what she did, you know, we just, well, the way she phrased it was, I wouldn't want someone to Google her name and find my name next to it.
Mm.
And I was floored by that. We was reminded about the Book of Life.
Yeah.
Where every name that has been saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb is recorded.
Yeah.
And I'm instantly thinking, would this person mind finding her name next to Chrissy's in that book?
Oh, great
point. That's truthfully what the gospel is about.
Amen.
I mean, it's amazing to me that here's a woman who left fame and left a tremendous amount of wealth to be poor, to do what it took to follow God, and yet she's still being ostracized by the church. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
Oh.
And that's what really fed the elder scene in this movie, because believe it or not, the actual conversation that takes place in that scene is a real conversation that Paul had with a friend. and we ended up writing it into the story.
Oh, well, let's go ahead and take a listen to the audio from that scene right now. And I want to remind people that we are giving away 5 copies of the short film Oversold to the first 5 callers. Well, let's go ahead and listen to this and we'll be right back.
This is a disgrace.
We cannot allow the church's reputation to be harmed by this.
Harmed?
By showing that we can give someone a second chance?
No, that our pastor is walking around with a stripper on his arm.
That is my wife you're talking about.
Hey, guys, we haven't even given her a chance.
Okay, listen, I'm excited that she's getting her life back on track, but as a husband, a father, and a leader in this church, I cannot allow my church to be associated with that woman. Where is she anyway?
Great. Unfortunately, Sophie has gone back to Vegas, and that is why we need to step up and support
She's
our
gone
pastor.
Back to Vegas?
Let's just stick to the issue.
So she's stripping.
We need to stick to the issue right now.
This is the issue. This is our marketing for our church.
Oh, yeah, and that's where the arguments begin.
Yeah.
You know, I think that even by listening to this or watching this movie Oversold, on that scene itself, part of the reason we're doing this program is to bring out some issues of pointing fingers instead of examining our own hearts. But I had to catch myself there too. That line when he said, as a father and as a husband, you know, I was like, wow, you know what? I kind of want to do that sometimes too and protect the children. So where's the fine line? Where do you find the balance in extending the hand of grace and protecting your family?
You know, I think that's a great question, and you know, all of us have to kind of wrestle with. I think when we talk about grace, we're obviously not talking about cheap grace here. We're not talking about just saying, oh, it's okay. You know, because sin is never okay. It's just not okay. At the same time, we have to realize that every single one of us are in the same boat. We're all fallen people, and we're all in need of a Savior. And so I kind of like what Rich Mullen said. There's no sense in pointing fingers unless you're pointing to the truth.
Yeah.
And I just think that sums it up best. It's like, you know, to realize that none of us here are perfect and that all of us here are lost, but we're not going to be brushing sin under the rug. At the same time, we do extend grace to people who need it most. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're going to keep quoting Revelation here, but Revelation chapter 2, I believe it is, when Jesus is writing to John to the church at Ephesus, he finds a group of people there that were extremely theologically correct. They had their doctrine together. As the text says, they stood up for right,
mm-hmm.
and that was great. But the one problem that they had is that they had forgotten their first love.
Yeah.
And he says, remember the height from which you have fallen. In other words, remember what it was like to be lost. Remember what it was like to not be saved and not have that personal relationship with me, because you've forgotten your first love. And then the situation there gets really crazy, because Jesus is saying, unless you do this, I'm going to remove the lampstand from your presence, basically meaning the presence and working power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to remove that from you unless you remember me, unless you come back from brokenness. I think part of it in protecting our family and protecting ourselves and maintaining integrity is starting at square one and remembering how lost we were without Jesus.
Hmm.
I think that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And then we extend that grace to people who need it. And when they're truly broken, what they've done, we need to receive them and rejoice. Jesus says that the angels in heaven rejoice when the Spirit comes back. When that happens, we need to be rejoicing. At the same time, again, it's not a matter of cheap grace. We don't just sweep stuff under the rug, so we still have to deal with it. And that's where it does get messy in the church, and it's hard.
But doesn't true love involve risk anyways? I mean, Jesus Christ himself risked the greatest love on us.
Yes.
I mean, you have to step out sometimes to be difference makers in this world. I mean, we see what the world's doing, and we're not called to be that. We're called to love our enemies. That's a love that's not understandable. That's not one that's predictable. It involves risk.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's in essence of what you find in Jesus, you know. And the Son of God, he didn't come into the world into a really cozy environment. The King of Kings came into a situation where he was in poverty, and, you know, it was not the best of circumstances.
Yeah.
And he took great risks.
Yes.
And you think about what the cross is all about. I mean, absolutely laying down your life. You don't get any more risky than that.
Amen.
And I think we just kind of forgotten about this with the church. We really want people to get straightened up first and then come to the church. And we've kind of gotten it all backwards.
Yeah.
And we'd really rather things be nice and tidy and clean rather than messy. And I just think, you know, God loved us enough to get into the mess.
Yeah.
We say Emmanuel when we say God with us. And when John says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, He didn't just dwell among us from a distance. I mean, he lived with us. He breathed the same air we breathed and had, you know what I mean? So it's like, you can't get more messy than that. And I think that's in essence what the gospel is about. The good news is that as messy as you are, God bridged the distance for you. And also, that's part of why we wanted to do this film, was to speak into the lives of folks that are in a mess and to take a risk. And believe me, it was risky. And to step out there and say, hey, you may feel totally lost and alone and that there's no hope for you, but I'm telling you, you know, there is hope.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate you taking the risk, and your church was behind you on this, too. They supported you in letting you go, and people filling in. Your family was a part of this. Everybody gets involved in this. We encourage people to go see Oversold, the short movie. Again, you can go to, what was it, www.oversoldthemovie.com?
Oversoldthemovie.com.
They can go to your church website as well. I'm sure it's going to be there.
Yeah, the church website is elevationchurch.tv.
Well, we hope that God uses this film in a way that challenges people and gets them to examine themselves. It is basically the story of Hosea put in a modern-day setting. So really, I think some of the criticisms we have, are we upset with God's story of Hosea or the movie Oversold? I don't know. But what do you make of all this?
It's just weird, the things that people will say. There was a church that showed this down in Atlanta, and a fellow pastor in the area accused that church of promoting pornography just by looking at Chrissy being on the cover. It's like, you know, are you kidding? Like, obviously, these people have not seen this piece. This piece, it does. It punches holes into pornography and porn addiction.
Well, here's the challenge, because you've got a tough theme that you've got to try and make realistic without really compromising people. How do you do that?
I will say that the thing I worried the most is I really did not want the people in a situation where they felt compromised for watching it. That's not at all the goal. The goal is actually to, in a way, tell the story of Hosea, obviously, and allow Christy's own testimony to kind of permeate this thing. And I hope you do get a chance to chat with Christy.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be with us tomorrow, so we encourage listeners to tune in again tomorrow. But you know what I think a lot of it is, Pastor? I think a lot of this is fear. It just scares the heck out of people. And you know what? We have so much more forgiveness for somebody that came out of prison, somebody that has been a drug addict or an alcoholic. Why do you think we have so much fear about this issue?
You know what? I don't know why we're so afraid, but as a pastor, as a spiritual leader, I can't allow that fear to keep me from dealing with this issue, because the more we don't deal with it, the larger a problem it's going to become.
Amen.
Unless the church begins to really address these issues, guess whose voice is going to get louder, you know? I mean, the world is speaking pretty clearly about that and these kind of issues. And the church is kind of, the more we avoid it, the deeper the hole will get. And I just think we need to set fear aside. You know, 1 John says, perfect love casts out all fear. And if we serve the perfect love, if God is love, we have nothing to fear. We need to pierce some holes in the darkness and begin to kind of take these things and bring them into the light.
Amen.
That's the only way this real change is going to take place.
Amen. That's one of the best things I've heard in a while, Pastor. Well, listen, we're running out of time, and we always leave listeners with a scripture of the day. But I think I'm going to go ahead and play another clip from the movie where the pastor is quoting out of the book of Matthew. And we're going to go ahead and close with that. Thank you all for joining us today. Thank you, Pastor Dave.
Thank you.
And make sure you join us again tomorrow for that interview with Chrissy. But for now, let's close with that scripture from the movie Oversold.
Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Now let me repeat that. It is not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337 433 5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.